welcome to episode 10 of Popcorn and Prosecco, where we give you a full half hour of movie talk, whether you like it or not. I'm Angie Han, and this is my co-host, Chrissy Puchko.
Hey!
Perry's out again this week working on our movie Child Eater, and I'm sure we're going to tell you all about it later on. But this week, we're going to cover the Tribeca Film Festival, the summer movies we're looking forward to, and then Transcendence, the directorial debut of Wally Feister, Christopher Nolan's DP. So that should be fun. Chrissy, do you want to take it away with Tribeca?
Yeah, so the Tribeca Film Festival is one of the less prestigious festivals. It's not Toronto, it's not Cannes. But what's exciting about Tribeca is that they work really hard to give you a wide array of interesting films. They have a midnight program, which this year everyone's talking about. There's a Chupacabra movie called Indigenous, and there's a movie starring Ygritte from Game of Thrones called Honeymoon, which I'm hearing good things about. Haven't seen it yet, very excited. And Zombie Beavers is on that slate, which is what it sounds like, Zombie Beavers. People are like, it's a damn scary movie, because dams. And then there's a selection that's more geared toward like celebrity-centered films, but not like huge celebrities, though there's a Robin Williams film this year, but there's like About Alex, which I think sounds really interesting, and About Alex has like a bunch of TV stars like Aubrey Plaza and Jane Levy and Max Greenfield from New Girl, and it's being described as the big chill for this generation, which I have to admit has me intrigued. I'm going to go see that soon, so I'm very excited about that. But there's a bunch of other things, like Every Secret Thing, which people are talking about, and there's some stuff from Sundance, like Love is Strange, which is a gay romance between Alfred Molina and John Lithgow. Sorry, guys. Angie and I have literally been watching movies all day, so I'm a little... the one I love, which Angie and I both saw, we're not allowed to talk about yet, but that has Elizabeth Moss and Mark Duplass. And I feel like you can tell from that alone, it's pretty worth seeing. So there's a lot of great things to see at Tribeca. It's actually kind of like, I always feel like a kid in a candy store there, because there's screenings all around Lower Manhattan, and they're just going on all day and all night, and it's just, it just seems like your options are just all over the place, you know? Like, you know, do you want to go see, like, a really arty movie, or do you want to go see something kind of more fun and mainstream? Like, they've got an Irish comedy called Bachelor Weekend, which is like, you know, it's like a hangover movie from Ireland. And so it's kind of anything you could possibly want to see. There's some really like intense dramas. There's some really like mind-bending films. And then there's short film programs too. So,
And Zombie Beavers.
And there's some really great documentaries. I always see great docs at Tribeca. Tribeca kind of is most known for getting really great documentaries. And this year I'm already hearing a lot of buzz on Art and Craft, which is about a guy who forges paintings makes forgeries of paintings and then donates them to museums as if they're the real thing, which is fascinating. So that's something else I'm looking forward to. The festival just started, so Angie and I haven't had a chance to see a lot of stuff yet, but we wanted to tell you guys about it because there's a lot of reason to be excited. And also, some of the movies are either on VOD already or will be eventually, so it's good to know about.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about Art and Craft, so that's definitely one of the ones that's on my radar. And obviously I'm really curious about In Your Eyes, which is the one that Joss Whedon wrote. So I'm dying to see that one. Today I just saw Start Up, which stars Ben Mendelsohn and Jack O'Connell, and it premiered at, I want to say, I don't know, something, it premiered at a different festival already, got really good buzz, and it's a movie that I probably can't talk too much about it, but it lived up to the hype. So, I don't know. I think Tribeca is off to a great start, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I saw a movie this morning that I'll talk more about later, but I really loved it. I did not expect it to be quite as... I thought it was going to be a comedy, and it was not, and I cried a lot. But that's okay. It was just my only regret was that I was, like, digging through my bag for tissues, like some little animal. I was just like, don't look at me! But yeah, so... I think we'll probably touch back on Tribeca at least a little bit once we've seen more things, but we kind of wanted to just get it out there that Tribeca's going on, and so follow Angie and I on Twitter, and you'll be able to keep up with that a little bit more. But yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on at Tribeca this year. It's pretty exciting. They're also showing Mary Poppins at a revival screening, which I love Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is how I learned to do terrible British accents, and so it will always hold a special place right here.
And terrible they are.
They are. They're bad.
So one of these days we're gonna have to get you to do your best Tom Hiddleston. That's always my
You have to
favorite.
trick me into it is the problem. Like, I'm not gonna do it on purpose.
I feel like it was a wasted opportunity that we didn't get you to do it during our Only Lovers Left Alive review.
I feel like the internet is grateful that I didn't.
Anyway, so we should probably talk. The problem with Tribeca is that since it just started, we can't talk in too much detail about the movies that we've already seen because we haven't really seen that many. But maybe
Also,
we.
embargoes is a thing.
Yes, also that. But we also wanted to talk about some of the other movies we're looking forward to. Chrissy?
Yeah, so this summer, because we're so close to summer movie season, guys. Like, there have been weird weeks where you're like, why is nothing opening? But summer movie season is coming.
I know it's hard to believe when it's like 30 something degrees outside in New York today, but no, we promise summer movie season is coming.
It snowed yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, we're just gonna move on from that. It makes me so angry. Anyhow, summer movie season, summer. So the movie I want to talk about is coming out June 27th, and it is Snowpiercer from Bong Joon-ho. And he did Mother and The Host, and he's got this really exciting way of telling stories and of playing with genres in ways you won't expect. And this is based on a graphic novel from France. That was, I think, called Trans-Siberia or something. I forget the title specifically, but the name of the train in the movie is Snowpiercer. And the concept is we've basically had a massive ice age. The world is ice and snow, and the remaining amount of humanity that is left is on this single train called Snowpiercer that kind of just drives around endlessly. But because we're human, guys, even though there's only a train's worth of people in the world, there's class warfare. So there are the haves and there are the have-nots, and we're going to see all of this collide in Snowpiercer, which I'm super excited about because aside from the fact that it has a really great director and it's very exciting, it also has a cast that is just stuffed to the gills with exciting people. There's Tilda Swinton and Chris Evans and Jamie Bell and John Hurt and Alison Pill,
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer, Ed Harris. And I know there's some people that were in past movies of Bong Joon-ho's, which is really exciting. It's a really cool cast, and I'm genuinely really excited. I actually got a copy of the comic. They now have it out in English, and it's a really cool comic. So I'm really excited to see it. And I mean, as we discussed in the Captain America episode, I really love Chris Evans. I'm sad to hear that he thinks he doesn't want to be an actor anymore. But I think he does great work, and I think he has something really interesting to do here. And he seems to really have been wanting to explore different roles, and that seems to be part of the reason he's like, I'm out. So I'm excited to see a non-Captain America role where it seems he still plays a hero. He's like beardy and angry looking, and Tilda Swinton looks crazy. Tilda Swinton looks like a Terry Gilliam creation. This movie just looks so bonkers. The only downside is that there's been a lot of talk about how it's going to have cuts. Not from the director, but from the Weinstein Company, because
Actually, I thought that they agreed that they were going to release it, do a limited release, but leave the original cut intact. Wasn't that what it finally settled on, or am I missing something?
I missed that.
Okay, so
I
basically,
honestly.
some history. Basically, Bong Joon-ho turned in this movie, the Weinsteins, and the Weinsteins were already on board to distribute it in the US, but they decided that they wanted it to be more of a straightforward action movie. So they were going to have him cut all these, all the character development scenes, they were going to have him add voiceovers, and just basically kind of work it around so that it's less unusual and more typical. And the director fought back, and it was like a whole back and forth thing. And I think what they finally ended up settling on, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Weinsteins are going to release the original cut, but they're going to release it in fewer theaters than they had originally planned. Because I think it was originally planned for like a wide release, or at least like a really big limited release, but I think now they're doing a much smaller rollout.
That's interesting. I had missed that last part, but that makes me feel a lot better. I mean, I still wanted to see it because from all the they'd been releasing concept art and stuff and real little teasers, and they kept releasing posters that were really cool looking, but no dates. And it was just like, it has been the biggest tease I've experienced in years. Like, I was just really frustrated. So I'm really excited that at the end of June, I'm finally going to see this movie that has a bunch of actors that I love. Like, I mean, okay, Tilda Swinton and John Hurt, both in Only Lovers Left Alive, which, as Angie and I have discussed, is one of the best movies you're going to see this year. And Chris Evans, who is just wonderful. Like, I'm really excited. I don't think there's a way that this movie will disappoint me. I'm genuinely very pumped about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the movies that I'm most looking forward to this year as well. But I do, before we move on from this, I do want to point out the irony of you picking Snowpiercer as a movie you're looking forward to when literally, like, the sentence before that you were just bemoaning how it was
That's true.
snowing the day before, and now you're like, summer movie season. I can't wait to watch a movie about how everyone is cold all the time.
That's a fair point. It's a
Yeah,
fair
so
point.
that's a little weird. So my summer movie picks are a little bit more, not a little bit more, they are much less off the beaten path. They're much more the kind of things that you think when you think summer movies. Basically, two of the movies that I'm really looking forward to this summer are X-Men Days of Future Past and Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, fucking superhero blockbuster movies. It's like the most typical thing you can ask for. But Guardians of the Galaxy, to me, that one, honestly, I think Guardians is going to be better. And that one I'm really looking forward to because I feel like I like Marvel. I liked Captain America. I mean, you guys heard us talking about it, but the Marvel movies are very consistent, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing in that, you know, you want this world to feel cohesive, so it works toward that, but it's a bad thing in that it starts to feel a little bit like, okay, now we kind of know what to expect. This is a Marvel movie. And Guardians of the Galaxy is the first thing in a while to come out that feels like, oh, I genuinely don't know what to expect from this. This feels really different and unique and fun. You know, I think that at least based on the trailers we've seen so far, the tone is completely different. Like the kind of characters you see in it are completely different. So, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, there's a limit to how different it can be because it's still a Marvel movie, but I am looking forward to, like, you know, exploring a whole different corner of the Marvel universe than we've seen. And so I think that looks really promising.
I think
And
it's
the.
also interesting because a lot of people don't know anything about the comics. Like, I certainly don't.
Oh, I
And so
don't
I think
either,
that's
honestly.
part of, like, from what I understand, it's a purposely much lesser known comic series. So I feel like that's actually advantageous to the franchise because they can kind of take us on an adventure, one, we're not anticipating, and two, that, like, there are not going to be so many fans outraged if they're not super beholden to the original content, which I
Yeah,
feel like
it's not
might
like
be.
when you try to reboot Superman and everyone and their mother has
He
an
doesn't have a
opinion.
curl on his head.
Right.
What are we doing?
Like, they have a little bit more leeway with this. And not to mention, but, you know, since you brought up the characters, the cast is also great. It's got Chris Pratt, who I already love from Parks and then love even more from the Lego Movie. It has Zoe Saldana, who is apparently the go-to person that you call when you're like, we need a pretty chick in a space movie. We, you know,
Preferably when she
it's.
has painted skin. Like,
Right.
literally, she's blue, she's green.
She's Star Trek, Avatar, Guardians of the Galaxy. Anytime you need a woman of color to shoot off into space, and sometimes it's like literally a woman of color, like a
Color
weird
of
color,
aquamarine.
right? Then you call up Zoe Saldana, and she's in this, and she looks fun. And you know, you've got Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel. I don't know. I think that it looks really promising. I'm really excited. My enthusiasm for X-Men: Days of Future Past is a little bit more measured because I'm not sure that's actually gonna be very good. The trailers have been kind of iffy. They look a little sloppy.
It's so much stuff. I've enjoyed all of the X-Men movies enough when I saw them, with the exception being the Wolverine Origins. Like, that's garbage. But the rest of them, like, I liked enough when I saw them that I was like, that was fun. So I'm certain I'll have fun at Days of Future Past, but watching the trailers, I just don't understand. It seems like way too much plot and way too much going on for a movie, so I'm
It
kind of
absolutely does, but the thing is, it's weird. This is a movie that I'm really excited about and looking forward to, but that I am not at all certain is actually going to be any good. So it's a movie that I'm kind of anxious about it.
So basically, your anticipation is high, your expectations are not necessarily.
Yeah, like, okay, so like Guardians of the Galaxy, I was just talking about, like, you know, I'm looking forward to it and I fully expect it to be a good movie. X-Men, I'm really like curious about it. I'm excited about it, but I'm also like really worried it's not going to be that good. But I loved X2. That was like one of my favorite movies for a long time. So, and this is Bryan Singer's big return to the franchise, so I can't
X2
not
has
be
my.
curious.
I'm with you. X2 has my favorite line in an X-Men movie ever, which is when Magneto is just super catty and says to Rogue, "We love what you've done with your hair."
Yeah, that's another reason to look forward to X-Men: Days of Future Past because it has Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And if you have been on the internet at all in like the past 6 months, you know that they are the world's best friends.
I love them. I love
Yeah.
them so much. I just want them to keep doing what they're doing. They don't even need to have a TV show. Just keep going to Coney Island and taking selfies. I'm into it.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why they're not just doing that. I love them. Anyway,
Not
but
as if
yeah.
they're doing that right now.
So those are the two movies that there are many other movies I'm looking forward to, but those are two that are pretty high on my list for this summer. And now that we've talked about the movies that we're looking forward to at Tribeca and the movies that we're looking forward to this summer, let's talk about a movie we have actually seen, which if you couldn't tell by the way Chrissy just rearranged her computer screen, is Transcendence.
I'm gonna talk so they can see. I got a t-shirt. It says Transcendence is our friend crossed out end. You're welcome, Internet.
Mind
Yeah.
goggles blown. Yeah,
I was
no,
gonna
that
wear
is.
this t-shirt, but it's so big. It's so much bigger than I am. So it's that dressing, guys. You're welcome.
Yeah, it practically looks like a bed sheet behind you.
It does. It's an extra large.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
cool.
I
I'll
mean,
wear
I know that you people on the internet, many of you have not seen Chrissy in person, but she is decidedly not an extra large.
Someone suggested I wear it as a cape, which I like.
Oh, I like that
That'll be
too.
really classy. Well, I'll run around Tribeca with a cape that says Transcendence on it.
I love that, but anyway, the movie also has a plot that doesn't involve capes, despite our really long, our wonderful little
It's late, guys. Sorry.
So
Angie's gonna explain Transcendence.
I'm gonna try. So transcendence is basically what the rest of the universe calls the singularity. In the movie, they call it transcendence because, I don't know, probably because it allows them to do more weird things. Basically, Johnny Depp is a scientist that is who's come really close to achieving fully sentient AI, and these anti-technology extremists don't like this very much, so they attack him.
They are Luddite terrorists. That's what they
Yeah.
call them.
Yes, like one of them has a tattoo that says unplug, which made me wonder because aren't tattoo needles usually plugged into something? But, I
They're
don't know.
just against it's whatever. I don't even want to get into it. They're
Anyway,
against whatever.
So Johnny Depp, so these people are not happy with Johnny Depp. One of them attacks him at a conference, they shoot him, but the bullet doesn't kill him, it just grazes him. But the bullet is poisoned, so now he's still gonna die. Only it's gonna take 5 more weeks, which is exactly the amount of time that Rebecca Hall, who plays his wife, and Paul Bettany, who plays their friend, need to upload his consciousness into the machine.
Which might make you wonder, why would you kill someone in a way that is so slow?
It does make you wonder. You would think, because in the movie, the guy is shoots him practically at point blank range, so there's
And then
really no
immediately shoots
reason.
himself through his face, so he understands how guns work.
Yes, but anyway, no. We're gonna keep talking
That's
about
in
the
the trailer. That's
plotters.
in the trailer. I feel like that's okay to say.
No, it's not a spoiler thing. It's
Yeah.
just if we get caught on
Sorry,
every
yeah. I'm
stupid thing
sorry.
that happens, we will never finish this. So yeah, he uploads his consciousness to the computer, and Rebecca Hall is thrilled because now her dead husband isn't really dead. He's just a computer now. Paul Bettany is a little bit more worried. He gets kidnapped by extremist terrorists. They go away. Rebecca Hall, meanwhile, and her computer Johnny Depp go off into the desert, which looks exactly like the town from Thor that gets destroyed. And then they try to rebuild it, and no one notices. And then 2 years pass. And if this sounds like I'm doing a terrible job explaining, do not blame me. Blame the script. The script does an even worse job of explaining this.
Fact.
Yes.
Basically, everyone's afraid that Johnny Depp, computer man, is going to take over the world. That's effectively
Yes.
the simplest way to explain it.
Yeah. And so then 2 years later, he's almost there, basically. He's practically omniscient, he's practically omnipotent, he has this nanotechnology nonsense which allows him to do basically anything. Unless the plot is oh, it's actually more convenient for us if he suddenly is severely limited, but
It's basically computer sorcery. Like in any other genre, you would just be like, because magic, but because it's science fiction, the answer is always because science, except that if you actually have an appreciation for science or computers, you will probably be really angry at this movie.
Or if you are a person that is capable of thought. If you are a sentient
If you've turned
machine, you
on a
probably hate
computer.
this movie. Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I took actually a friend of mine who he's an IT, he works in IT, and I took him because I thought he would enjoy the movie. He did not. He was just fuming the whole movie. There's just so much stuff in this that makes no sense, little sense, that pays no attention to how computers actually work, and
It doesn't
that's.
understand how computers work. It also doesn't understand how people work. It's a movie that thinks it's about the relationship between man and machine. It doesn't know how machines work. It doesn't know how people work. So
Yeah,
it's
the
not really
relationships
about
feel really surface
anything.
level. I mean,
Oh, go ahead.
you could excuse all the techno babble and the really big stretches and suspension and disbelief. You could excuse that if you were on the journey and just whatever. So a flex capacitor, a DeLorean, fine. It doesn't matter if that shit makes sense because we love it and we don't care. Or like a shark exploding at the end of Jaws. We're on board, so it doesn't matter if it makes sense. But Transcendence never gets you on board that way because the characters are so cardboard. that, like, you just don't care. And it is a painfully slow movie. The trailer's trying to make it seem like it's an action movie, but nothing action-oriented happens until, like, maybe the last 20 minutes.
And then the big action climax, without getting into spoilers, is it's so half-assed that it really, it genuinely does feel like they didn't really want to have one, but they're like, well, you know, I don't know.
It's a summer movie?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Let's just toss that in there. It's very half-assed. It's not exciting. I don't understand the point of it at all. I don't know. I mean, first and foremost, my problem with this movie is that it's just fucking boring.
Agreed.
It doesn't make any sense. None of the characters are interesting. Nothing the characters do makes sense. I feel like maybe the filmmaker and the writer thought, oh, it's automatically interesting to have a guy upload his brain into a computer. But it's not. First of all, it's been done before. And, like, second of all, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I know it's not real, so why do I care?
Yeah, I mean, especially because the whole thing is supposed to be the concept of what if artificial intelligence went rogue, which is, of course, something we've seen in Terminator, and there's just a bunch of movies about it. I mean, hell, Her does that, but Her decides not to be scary about it. And Transcendence does it and tries to be, like, both Her and scary because, like, it is supposed
there's some question of, like, whether the machine really loves her, which is a line someone actually
says,
because it's that kind of movie, and I literally facepalm walls in theater. Paul Bettany keeps being like, Rebecca Hall, this isn't really Johnny Depp, it's just a machine that thinks it's, I don't know, it's a whole
and
thing.
She just goes, get out.
Yeah, it's
that's
a whole thing that
what happens.
I don't even know how to begin reviewing this, because it's like, everything is so half-assed. If you ask me what the themes are, I'm like, I don't know. It's something about man and machines, and that's about all I can say. It thinks at the end that it's a love story, even though it's not, because there's, like, no romance that you care about at all.
Exactly, because they introduced Rebecca Hall and Johnny Depp so quickly, and their relationship doesn't feel like a marriage to me. Like, I know they're married because they keep telling us that.
Oh, there's
my
a point where, like, Paul
in business and in life.
Yeah, no, there's a point where Paul Bettany's like, you guys have the kind of relationship that the rest of us envy. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you told us
that,
because otherwise nobody would know that, because we don't see any reason, like, there's no evidence that these people even, like, know each other, you know?
It's like, they only have a short amount of screen time before the quote-unquote action of the movie, and by action I mean the plot, gets going, where the thing that you see in the trailer where he gets shot in the stomach, like, that happens relatively quickly. But, like, if you have good screenwriting, you can establish a relationship. Like, goddamn, think of Up and how much we totally believed in Ellie and their love, you know? That happened really quickly. In this, there's, like, a scene where they argue in a garden, like, oh, you and your copper wiring. And then she, like, makes him get dressed up. And, like, it felt more like she was, like, his personal assistant or his PR handler. Like, she felt like she was handling him.
Yeah, right off the bat, it felt more like she was his babysitter or something, because she's like, oh, I guess his name is Will. Oh, Will, don't forget you have to put on a shirt and go to this thing. He's like, oh, Mom, do I have to? Basically.
Legit. He's wearing a dirty, gross white T-shirt, and she's like, put on a nice dress shirt. And he puts it on over the white T-shirt, and you're like, I get it. Like, he's the slob, and she's whatever. It's just...
And this is basically supposed to be such an epic romance that it, like, transcends death. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Winter's Tale.
You're so right. I mean, that was... I made a dumb joke after the screening and said, poor Paul Bettany, him and his wife Jennifer Connelly are in two of the worst movies this year. And Angie was like, this is actually a lot like Winter's Tale. And she's not wrong. I mean, like... both of those movies aim to do something really big and try to ask big questions, but they are so incompetent at telling a story about these questions that you can't take the question seriously. But at least Winter's Tale, for as stupid as that movie was fun to watch, because you were just like, what is happening? But in this, you're just like, literally a guy in, like, the seat over from me fell asleep during Transcendence. And this is, like, IMAX. This is big, booming sound. And he just, it's such a slow movie. It's so slow. You're just like, when are things going to happen? Like, ugh. At least Winter's Tale had, like, face ripping and ridiculous stuff that you were just like...
Well, Winter's Tale at least was like, oh, we're just going to go for it. We're going to be bonkers. In Transcendence, there's honestly very little in this movie that you haven't already seen, like, eight other movies do better. Like, it's starting with the entire premise. Like, if you're going to do that, you got to bring something to the table. Like Her was a good example that you pointed out, which, you know, in some ways they are kind of similar thematically, but that actually showed us something, showed us a world that looked different than the ones we're used to. Transcendence just feels like a mishmash of all the other, you know, oh, machines become sentient and now humanity's in trouble, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if this is Wally's idea of showing us that he can direct, it doesn't work.
Speaking of that, I want to point out that, so, you know, he's known for being Christopher Nolan's cinematographer.
And he's shot amazing,
beautiful films. Transcendence looks like shit. I mean, he wasn't his own cinematographer. That honor went to Jess Hall, who did Hot Fuzz, I think. Anyway, so, you know, it wasn't like, so it's not like he was a cinematographer on his own movie, but still, you would think a guy known for making such gorgeous films would have somehow put out a pretty movie. It's not pretty. It looks cheap. The colors are drab. The production design is very bland.
That's the thing. There's no stamp that shows you vision in this.
No.
Like, you know, I mean, you think about Her, and you think you instantly remember the colors and how vivid they were and the high pants, and like people can make fun of that movie all they want for how dorky the characters looked, but it had a visual style that
informed that
world. It was
very distinctive, yeah.
Yeah, and like I understand that this movie is supposed to be set either today or in the very near future, but like nobody in this movie like dresses or anything in a way that makes me interested in the world they're in. Like with the like Kate Mara has tattoos that I guess make her interesting, and she dyes her hair, guys. But like there's no concept that like someone really considered this world. I shouldn't say that. I'm overstating. Because some of the visual effects, you're like, oh, this is kind of neat or whatever. But it just doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like a world I want to step into and hang out with for hours. It's just, it's not that exciting. And I'm actually shocked because like, he has good actors in this movie. I would count Rebecca Hall and Morgan Freeman and Cillian Murphy and Paul Bettany and even Johnny Depp. I think he's getting a little hacky, but he can still pull it out.
Oh, no, I want to talk about Johnny Depp's performance in this movie. First of all, I agree completely that he has great actors, most of whom he wastes. Like Cillian Murphy, Kate Mara, and Morgan Freeman, I think, kind of get it the worst, where their characters kind of show up, say a couple things, disappear for a long stretch of the movie, show back up, you know, in the third act, say a couple more things. They're things that, like, you
show up to deline exposition lines or threats.
Yeah, and they're not real characters. Like, I feel like, you know, Christopher Nolan could have, or not Christopher Nolan, I'm sorry, Wally Feister could have replaced Kate Mara's character with, like, like me or you, like a random person off the street, and gotten the same impact, because it's not a character, it's little more than an extra, but Johnny Depp, I think this is the movie that finally made me be like, I don't think he's got it anymore. Like in
killed
the first
my crush, he killed it. I've had a crush on Johnny Depp since I was really young, because all of us did. I mean, you know.
Well, because he used to look like, just Google young Johnny Depp and you'll understand.
Word, but like in this, the character of Will becomes such a creeper. And it's supposed to be because, like, they can't tell if he has emotions or if it's all just thought, and what does that mean? Is the brain separate from the soul? These are all things the film dabbles in but never explores in a really in-depth or interesting way. But because when he records his voice for this robot of himself or machine of himself, he talks like this the whole movie, Johnny Depp talks like this, which doesn't help him and was frankly a bad move. Like, again, I'm just going to keep talking about Her. Think about Her, where they had the smarts to be like, we want her, like this artificial intelligence to feel alive. And it's like hard to like look at what his wife's responding to and be like, why do you think your husband's in here?
No, he's about as like person-like as like Siri is. And I don't mean Siri like Her, I mean Siri like the thing that is on my phone right now, like this Siri, modern day Siri. But the even weirder thing to me was that before he goes into the machine, he's basically, I mean, he's a brilliant scientist, so he's a little bit weird, but he's, for all intents and purposes, a normal guy, just like a human. Mm-hmm. And that, it was like the least convincing Johnny Depp performance I've ever seen. I do not think he is capable of acting like just a person anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he can only do now roles that require him to be, like, really weird, that require him to have crazy wigs and, like, heavy makeup and other... And if he's not doing that, I think he's honestly at a loss, because it felt to me like... in the beginning of the movie when he's playing an ordinary guy, it really felt like an actor who has no idea how ordinary people act trying to act like an ordinary person. It was kind of like when you watch those like really rich politicians trying to pretend they're like salt of the earth people, and they're like, yeah, people eat hot dogs. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
It was like that kind of thing. Like, it was like in quotation marks. It was so bizarre. And I think that was the moment where I was just like, you know what? This is the turning point for me. Like, for me, I'm out of chances to give this guy.
Well, it's also just, like, because he talks like that all the time, like, it's hard to get on board with the romance. And I know the whole time we're meant to be questioning, like, is this him or is this a computer program? But, like, I never felt, like, I was like, how does she not feel unsafe all the time? Especially because eventually she builds this house where he is on every wall. Like, every wall is a screen, and he is always around her. And, like, I am in a loving marriage, but there are times where I just need to be in a room by myself. Like, that was actually the most emotionally honest moment in the movie, is where she's trying to have dinner and he keeps talking to her through the wall, and she's like, can you just not right now? And he shuts off all the screens around her, so she's just in a dimly lit room eating her meal, and it actually looks quite peaceful. And then he's like, is that better? And she's like, yes. And it's so passive aggressive. But I was like, that actually felt like they had a relationship that I understood, because every other scene is like her caretaking him, or her being like, that's not how humanity works. And it just, she doesn't feel like a real character. I actually have a question for you, Angie, because, like, I genuinely don't know. Who is the protagonist of this movie?
I was actually wondering the exact same thing. I want to be like, oh, it's Johnny Depp, but it's not really, because he's not really... I guess his actions drive the movie, but yeah, he's more of a plot line than a character. It's not really Rebecca Hall, because she also isn't really that active. It's not Paul Bettany, because he disappears for a long stretch of the film. I think that was one of the problems with this movie, is that there's just no character that you can sink your hooks into and identify with and just go along with them for the ride. There's...
Like,
yeah.
Paul Bettany, I think, did the best job of actually creating a character out of this script.
He's the most convincingly human...
Because he has
character.
Conflict. It's not just because every other character has like one thing that they believe and they just keep saying it. Like, Kate Mara's character is like, technology is the devil, and that's her whole thing. And then Will's like, I want to create the world that my wife wanted. So, like, he's just dedicated to like doing all the things he thinks she wants. She just wants to be with him, even if it's weird computer screen version him. But it's like, that's not how people work. Like, it's how a script should work, where someone should have a central motivation. But if you're going to write a script about the difference between technology and humanity, you have to recognize that humanity has conflict. Like, Paul Bettany's character wants his best friend back, who is Will Caster, the character that Johnny Depp plays, but he also is concerned about what it means to act like a computer can be a person's, effectively, soul. Like, the question is your brain... the way you think, what your personality, what your soul.
I think you've already put more thought into that than into just like wording that question than this movie actually puts into that idea.
That's the thing. They don't express these questions in an articulate manner, and so it gets lost. And it's just a shame, because that's the most interesting thing about this movie, are these questions. Where, like, because I actually saw something on The Daily Show a couple of days ago where they were talking about the idea of, like, you could potentially never die if they could record your brain patterns and recreate it on a computer. If you believe that your identity is your consciousness, then you could exist forever.
Right.
And that's a really cool concept. That is something that I want to see a movie about. But that's not what this becomes.
No. I want to go back. You mentioned Paul Bettany. The other thing that he brings to the movie is that he and Rebecca Hall have the most believably human relationship out of any of the characters. And weirdly, the movie does nothing with it. Basically,
yeah.
It's Rebecca Hall and Johnny Depp are married, and he's their friend. And it kind of, I don't know if it's just like the way they play it or whatever, but it always feels like Paul Bettany kind of has a thing for Rebecca Hall, but he can't make a move because Johnny Depp is also his friend. And there's just so much like weird tension there. It's like the way that they interact with each other and the way that they like look at each other, and the script does nothing with it.
We discovered that there's a weird thing with names in the movie where they don't properly like identify people by their names. So they'll start talking about people, and like you could hear people in the theater going, wait, who is that? Like, someone was like, what happened to Martin? And my friend was like, I have no idea who Martin is. And then at one point he's like, oh, we met in Sam's class. And I was like, is that the Paul Bettany character? And then they said his name. I'm like, no, who the fuck is Sam? Why are we talking about Sam? Like, it's just, It's so like it feels like an outline for a script. It's confounding that someone looked at this script and was like, "Yeah, we're gonna put tons of money behind this movie."
Yeah, it's really. I think what's really frustrating is that it's. I mean, as we've pointed out over and over, there is a better movie in here somewhere. This is not a good movie. I mean, I'm not gonna say like, oh, I actively loathe this movie. This is the worst thing that ever happened. Somebody like, you know, like take Wally Feister to prison or something like that. I don't like, you know, it's not a movie that made me like genuinely furious at like how horrible and like, you know, nasty it is or anything. It's just a movie that I'm like, I literally can't think of a single reason to ever tell anyone you should watch this movie. Because most movies, even the ones that I don't love, I'll be like, oh, you know, like it wasn't my thing, but if maybe if you like that kind of humor, you'll like it. Or like, oh, it wasn't like my cup of tea, but this actor puts in a really good performance that's worth checking out. This one,
Sure.
I'm just like, I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but if you're like, give me one reason to watch it, I'd be like.
I actually completely agree with you. Like, I'm not like offended by it, so I can't say I hated it, but like when it ended, I was just kind of like, well, that happened. That was a movie.
Yeah.
It's just it was shock I was shocked at how boring it is.
It is
You have an
incredibly boring.
Yeah, you have an interesting concept. You have a cast that's exciting. How is this movie? And it's so slow. And it's just like she, like Angie mentioned that 2 years pass, and they literally are just like 2 years later, and you're like,
They don't even bother giving people different haircuts or anything like that, which is like
no,
usually
no
often
one.
like movie shorthand for like time has passed. Now
Oh,
Charlie
Paul Bettany
is
gets a beard briefly.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I feel like
Yeah, that's it.
he can
That's
probably
it.
grow that in like a week, so I don't really
Exactly.
even know. Anyway.
It feels the whole movie. I don't want to say it feels lazy. I just feel like it thinks it's way more profound and way more sophisticated than it is, which is really ultimately insulting to audiences. Like, if you're going to see this because you think, like, oh, it'll be like Inception, no, it is not fun, it is not exciting, there's nothing here you haven't seen before, and it's just so damn dull. Like,
I don't know.
it's.
I mean, in conclusion, I to sum up my thoughts overall, I basically felt like this movie was a really bad version of Inception. It wants to be Inception. It might even think it's Inception, but it's Inception if someone without any of Christopher Nolan's talent or what makes Christopher Nolan's movies work tried to make it. It's like if you think his movies are a little bit cold and clinical, this has even less humanity in it. If you think that he is humorless, this has even less humor in it. If you think that he's pretentious, you know, like this is even more, maybe
Yeah.
it's not more pretentious, but the gap between what it thinks it's doing and what it's actually doing is much bigger than in like a Christopher Nolan movie. So I don't know. That kind of sums up my thoughts. What about you? Any final.
Yeah, don't see this movie. I can't think of a single reason to tell you to pay it to see it in theaters. I mean, it's in IMAX, but there's not anything that you need to see on IMAX
It's
in this
not a good
movie.
looking film, as we discussed, so it's not even the kind of film where you're like, oh, but in IMAX it'll at least look cool. It's not shot in IMAX. It doesn't even look. I saw it on IMAX, but I suspect that it won't even look that good on a regular screen, let alone an IMAX screen, so.
Yeah, if you want some good cinematography this week, go see Bears. Disney's Bears. It's fun,
I
and it
bet
has
it feels
beautiful
more warm
cinematography.
and human than Transcendence
It
does.
actually genuinely does. I'm not joking. Because
I
they take
wasn't
great
joking either.
efforts. Yeah, they take great efforts in Bears to make the bears like they kind of humanize them by giving them this little arc and story, and John C. Reilly's like, "Oh, look at the bear playing and whatever." Like, I had way more emotions watching two bear cubs play and get chased around by deadly things than I did watching this whole human drama that was supposed to be about potentially the end of the world.
Yeah. So, you know, that sorry to end this episode on kind of a downer note because we started out being like, we're so excited about these things. And then we did see this one thing and it was terrible.
Yeah,
But,
sorry guys. It's a rough
yeah.
week for releases. But Bears is cute.
Yes. So if you were like, I want to watch them something about what it means to be human, watch Bears instead because they're doing a better job at it, apparently. I haven't seen Bears. Yeah, Christy, you want to take us out?
Yeah, so thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. You can catch my stuff on a lot of it on CinemaBlend. I'm also recapping Game of Thrones for the Mary Sue, so be sure to check that out. But you can keep up with me at Twitter. I'm at Christy Puchko, KristyPuchko. You can catch up with Perry at Twitter on at P Nemiroff, NEMIROFF.
And
And
you can find me on Twitter at AJ Han, which is at AJHAN. So until
yeah.
next time, cheers!